Welcome, and thank you for joining us for today's Dealer On webinar, Results of the Elise Kephart Experience Case Study Revealed. My name is Eliana Raggio, and I'll be your moderator today. And today's webinar is being presented by Dealer On. For anyone who isn't familiar with Dealer On, we're an award-winning website development company and digital agency best known for our amazing SEO, the best customer service, and the highest converting website designs in the industry, including the award-winning Chameleon Responsive Website Platform. We've been awarded the Driving Sales Dealer Satisfaction Award for top-rated websites for an unprecedented 6 years in a row. We also took home the AWA Award for Best Websites 3 times, plus FCA announced that we're now an approved vendor. We're still the only company in the industry that offers a money-back lead guarantee program. Do you want to know more? Yeah, you do. You can check us out at our gorgeous brand-new Dealer On website at DealerOn.com. Hey, are you losing valuable traffic because of slow mobile site? Well, that's no good, because Google estimates that well over half your website traffic is coming from mobile devices. But don't worry, because Dealer On now offers mobile site speed tests for free. You can get yours after the webinar. Just give us your URL and let the magic begin. It's a great way to see how your site stacks up to the competition. We have a great show in store for you today. We have the one and only Elise Kephart as our presenter today. Elise Kephart is the founder of the Elise Kephart Experience, a company focused on helping dealerships strengthen their process, sales teams, and lead handling utilizing tactics with an emphasis on improving phone skills and utilizing video email. An international sales and marketing phenom in the auto industry, Elise is nationally recognized as the YouTube Diva for her persuasive, personalized video greetings. Since 2007, she has sold countless vehicles to clients by creating a strong bond with her customers through the power of unique video messaging. Among her high-volume sales, she has also earned top-performing CSI. With her unique approach to videos, her phone skills, and sales background, Elise has visited dealerships across the country, teaching her one-of-a-kind method. Her approach has been praised by the likes of Ziegler and Cardone, and she has been published in magazines both in the U.S. and Canada. Elise has presented at seminars including Women in Automotive, Ziegler's Internet Battle Plan, Driving Sales Executive Summit, Digital Dealer, and the General Motors 2015 Compass Tour. She can be reached at Elise Kephart Experience. I'm sorry, at Elise at EliseKephartExperience.com. Now, during the presentation, if you have any questions, please use the question feature located on the corner of your screen to submit them. At the end of the presentation, we'll answer those questions of general interest. If we're unable to get to your question live, we're going to try to respond by email later today. Don't forget, a link to download a copy of this webinar recording will also be emailed to you later today for your reference. Feel free to share it with your friends and colleagues. And guess what? Our good friends at the Elise Kephart Experience are giving away a great prize on today's webinar. One lucky webinar attendee is going to win an Elise Kephart Experience swag bag. And then one more of you lucky webinar attendees is going to win the Elise Kephart Best Price Master Course. This invaluable online course from EKX Academy will teach you everything you need to know to overcome objections and win more customers when they request best pricing. This prize is valued at $299, but wow, this is a tremendous prize for you and your dealership. You have to be on the live broadcast to score any of these cool giveaways, though, so stay tuned, and who knows, you might be one of the people walking away with an awesome prize today. Also, at the conclusion of this webinar, you're going to get a short survey, so fill it out. We're always looking for quality feedback from our audience, and we want your opinion to be heard. And hey, do you tweet much? Oh, we hope you do, and we'd love to hear what you have to say about today's presentation, so please tag us in it. You can use hashtag DealerOnWebby. I'm at Eliana Raggio. You can also hit up Elise Kephart at the YouTube Diva. We look forward to seeing what you're saying. All right, everyone, let's get started. Let's learn all about the results from the Elise Kephart Experience case study. Elise, thank you so much for being here to kick off our 2018 Dealer On webinar experience. Thank you so much. How have you been? How are the holidays to you?
Oh, I'm so glad that it's 2018. But yeah, no, the holidays went good, and my daughter's birthday's in December, and my birthday's in December. Came down with what seems like everybody's getting sick with the flu, but had that. But I'm 2018 is just rocking and rolling. So,
and look at the gift you brought us today. I love this. And for those of you who aren't prepared yet? Get prepared, because this is filled with so much awesomeness. Elise, let's just get into it. Give everyone the background on when this study started and how you came up with this and everything. Go. I'm ready.
All right. So a little bit of background. Some of you may follow me on social media. Some of you may not. So I wanted to make sure for those of you that maybe this is the first time that we've connected, or maybe this is the first webinar that you've heard that I've done with DealerOn. But the background of this case study essentially kind of broke down into, I picked a dealership. So I actually put a social media post, just one Facebook post, and I picked a dealership who I said, hey, I'm going to be your remote BDC for 72 hours, for 3 days straight bell to bell. And so knowing this, I had an idea just based off of when I sold cars, but every day since I've sold cars up until now, I'm continuously working with dealerships to do smaller segments, but to do these sessions where we, go into the CRM, work with real customers and make phone calls and so forth. So, I wanted to extend kind of that process out and really sort of, look at, hey, with the right training, all right, the right person, the right training, the right process, what is doable? What is, I see a lot of posts on forums and dealer blogs and some of these Facebook groups and so forth, where we all are kind of saying the same type of things. How do we get customers to respond to us? And what if a customer says this, or they live far away, or they only want pricing? And so all these scenarios, regardless of where you're viewing the webinar at, regardless if you're in Canada or if you're in the States, East Coast, West Coast, the objections ultimately are the same. So I wanted to really put this case, I wanted to basically put my own feet to the fire too and say, hey, I know there's a lot of trainers out there, or the mentality a lot of times can be, hey, if you're a trainer in automotive sales or whatever you do, trainers sometimes can talk the talk, but they can't walk the walk, so to speak. So I wanted to put my own feet to the fire and say, hey, with my process, that I developed when I worked at a dealership up until now, as fine-tuned as it is, if I were to put it to work, not actually working at a dealership, but being, being here in California and the dealership was in Indianapolis, what are the results that I can get as a remote BDC? And if it's something that, I figured I can do, then my assumption there is, again, with the right people in place and the right processes, that this is literally a blueprint. These are going to be real examples that we're actually going to dive in today, so that you get the information as far as, the real deal, the formula. What are customers actually saying on the phone? How are customers actually responding if I do X, Y, Z? And so with this whole case study reveal, I'm really excited to give you all the results of it, because it's not just some of my other webinars that I've done, Elian, I know have been kind of more process driven and more of a how to, so to speak. And with this, what's going to be really, really informational, for the people listening and the people watching this after the fact, is that these aren't mystery shops that I'm going to show you. These aren't fake customers. These are real customers who went online one way or the other, put in a lead to this dealership, and for 72 hours I followed up with those leads. And I'm going to pull a Bobby Heron. I don't know if she's on the webinar, but I hate calling them leads, but we reference to them as leads, but they're opportunities. So with that, I think we actually have a poll question. We do have a poll question.
Yeah, let's start off with a poll question. It's our only poll question today. So please get to your computers and answer this question for us. We want to know, what do you feel is your biggest challenge when following up with leads or opportunities at your dealership? Please select one of the following answers. Do you struggle with getting customers to respond to you? Do you feel that there's too many out-of-town or long-distance customers? Do you think you could use training on phone and overcoming objections and you just don't have access to it? Do you feel that your process and or your CRM may need some updating? Or do you think, probably all of the above, because your dealership's pretty much a hot mess. Either way, any of the answers is fine. We're just curious. You know, Elise finds these answers are going to help her with this presentation, so please let us know what's happening at your dealership. Once we get a majority of the votes in, we're going to close this poll and share the results, and Elise is going to dive in, and I can't wait to hear how you did this. I love that you actually put your process to the test. It's no surprise, though, you did this process, you developed this process when you were selling cars. And
but it's been fine-tuned. I mean, I haven't sold cars since 2014. We're now going on to 2018, which is, whoa, side note flash, that's been almost, it'll be 4 years this May or 4 years this June. But since then, what's kind of unique about me as a trainer is I go in, you know, when I'm training at a dealership or when I'm doing virtual training, my feet are to the fire on an everyday basis when I'm working with dealerships, with, you know, in their CRM to make calls with them and so forth. So since then, even though I haven't sold cars for almost 4 years now, you know, it never should be a moment where you say stagnant, otherwise you're going to get left behind, right? So, continuing to fine tune my process, to what's relevant. You know, what's relevant now, what's relevant moving forward. I'm sorry, I think I interrupted you too. What were you going to say?
That's okay. By the way, Tony wrote in, Elise, I applaud your feeling about not calling customer leads. We use the term inquiry in place of leads. Yeah. Thank you, Tony, for that. We appreciate it. All right, let's close this poll and share the results. Votes are in, audience. Thank you so much for your votes. We really appreciate it. All right, let's see what you had to say. All right, what do you feel is the biggest challenge when following up with leads or opportunities at your dealership? Well, 52% of today's audience say that they struggle with getting customers to respond to them. 6% of today's audience say too many out-of-town or long-distance customers. 13% of today's audience say they admit they could use training on phone and overcoming objections. 15% of today's audience say their process or their CRM probably needs some updating. And then the remaining 15%, they're raising their hand. They're saying, you know what? We're a hot mess. We got more than one of these things happening at our dealership. So, Elise, I don't know if that helps you out, but it certainly is telling, you know, and just so you know, my audience, they're pretty savvy, so they're tuning in to find out how you can help them. So, Elise, let's do this.
So, either one, I'm sorry about my bar came up, either one of those, did I go back 2 seconds here?
You're going to be fine.
So either,
we're going to get
through
this, Elise.
There we go. All right, we're going to, that was technical.
The struggle is real.
Struggle is real. So regardless of if you, the majority of you, I think you said 60% of those that are on the webinar today struggle with getting customers to actually engage with them, right? To actually respond. And it's always been this thing that's kind of boggled my mind and maybe some of you, are automotive nerds like me and think about this kind of stuff. But, you know, when you get an opportunity or you get an inquiry that pushes into your CRM, you have to think to yourself, you know, that customer took the time out of their, what we would think is somewhat of a busy day, to put in their email address and their information. And they didn't have to do that, because if you've ever done this, hopefully you have, because this really helps you, put things in perspective. If you've gone on your own website or you've gone, on a third-party website, and like you're doing research on a vehicle, there's so much information out there with pictures and Carfaxes, you know, that you typically can download for free, and all these other additional third-party websites where you can get a lot, as a consumer interest doing research on a vehicle, you can get a lot of information for free without ever having to actually take the time to punch in your name at minimum, sometimes not even your name, which we're going to go through a little bit later today on some of these leads that I got. And, you know, they, at minimum, they took the time to punch in their email address. So knowing that, you know, when you get an opportunity like that, if your biggest struggle is, hey, getting customers to respond to me, you need to go into it, you know, with a no fear mentality of the sense, if I get a customer that pulls into my CRM, I have to assume that they didn't have to type in their email address. They really didn't. They could have gotten whatever, you know, something sparked them to type in their email address. And that's like knocking on your door, right? That should be a knock on your door. So really going into your follow-up plan, your follow-up process, to where you want to have, we're going to dive into this a little bit deeper, but you want to have consistency and go into it with a no-fear mentality of, you know, with the right process and the right personalization to this process as well, and giving value to the customer, then you know, then they're not going to get upset at me for following up too much. So we're going to talk about a little bit that a little bit later today as well, following up too much based off of these results. So these are the tools. These are the tools that I use. So I've you know, any CRM really works, but this just putting it out there was a DealerSocket CRM. Real quick, a note on the CRM. It doesn't have to be DealerSocket. Again, whatever CRM that you have at your store. You know, I've always said kind of switching a CRM is, I've never been through a divorce and I don't plan on it, but I've heard it compared to being divorced, which is, you know, it's going to cost a lot of money to switch CRMs and you don't necessarily know that the other CRM is going to get you everything that you need. A lot of times it's not the CRM, it's how am I utilizing the CRM. So if you have a CRM currently in place, you know, I mean, I probably could have done this even on just a very bare minimum CRM system, but it was DealerSocket that I used in this case study. I also used, this is crucial, I also used video email, and I used the BombBomb video email platform, which, if again you follow me on social of any types and means, you probably know I'm a little obsessed with BombBomb and video emails. I've been obsessed with video email since 2009, since I have sold cars, but I use that in integration with DealerSocket. So we're going to go over that a little bit later as well. Fire templates. So fire templates are, these are all customized templates by me. So I installed them. I had them pre-written out. I don't like the word templates in the same way that I hate the word phone scripts. When I say phone scripts, you think that you have to be scripted. When I say templates, you think of these canned responses that don't even sound like a real human being wrote them. So my fire templates are customized. They were customized to be able to do the right follow-up process in the most efficient manner. And as far as phone calls, I just had my iPhone. I used my iPhone to actually make the phone calls and do my video emails. And then Talk Options is a software platform. Our good friend Jerry, Mr. Jerry Tebow, owns it. But I use that to, we're going to go over in this process, if you've seen any of my other webinars before, you know, when you're making multiple attempts, it allows you to change up your area code so that you're calling from a different phone number. So I use that. All of these tools is essentially the ingredients, I guess, other than myself, the ingredients that I used in this case study. So the results, I want to say, when I calculated an amount and I went through all the audio files and so forth, you know, I've we've done webinars before, the overall close rate I'll share with you right now was over 30% in 3 days. And so are those results typical? The results probably are not typical, and here's why. Because when it comes to a lot of times when it comes to follow-up, you A, don't have the right type of person put into place. So the ideal type of person is somebody that understands process and is willing to follow the right process. Somebody that's personable with customers. When you give them a script, they're not going to read it for a script, but they're going to be able to internalize what the purpose of the script is and actually be human and give, you know, sound, give a good experience to the consumer when you're on the phone with them. Somebody that that sees the value in personalization and you know, uses video email. So these are all things that are sort of traits of traits that are sort of built into me, but this process that I use to get these results, again, all entailed all of those things, you know, using video email, having the right structure and quote unquote script, and you know, when I'm on the phone. But all in all, if you're willing to work hard, if you are willing to understand this process down to a T, if you're willing to really treat, you know, treat every aspect of what you do in the automotive, whether you're in BDC, whether you're in internet sales, whether you're in automotive sales, you know, treat it like you are going, I never got a college degree, but treat it like if you were getting your master's degree, you know, you do have to work hard at it and, be consistent in everything that you do. So, but the results, if you're willing to do those things and you have the right people, you have the right process in place, these are the tools again that I used. You literally can replicate this blueprint and you can get the same results. The just hoping, hey, I'm just going to hope that I can schedule 10 appointments today. That isn't a good solid game plan. The game plan for, you know, hey, I'm just going to make 100 calls today just to tell my boss that I made 100 calls, but none of those calls really resulted in anything. That's not a solid game plan either. I would rather in this process, rather than focusing on opportunities that were, that were 2 weeks and 3 weeks old, these were opportunities where I went in starting fresh. So the first lead that came in, the first opportunity that came in, I'm starting fresh from that opportunity and moving forward. And I'm going all in with these customers to make my first step of getting connection with that customer. So in 3 days, here were the results. 38 opportunities, we'll call them leads. Of those 38 opportunities, 35 I was able to connect with. So out of 38 leads, 35 I was able to connect with. Now with connection, connection results in is going to be either a phone connection, it's going to be the customer responds over email, or it's going to be that they respond over text. Now in this process, it's very crucial that you realize that unless the customer flat out told me, I only want to text with you or don't call me, which didn't happen, by the way. I'm going to show you some good examples on that. The majority of everything that you do should be guided towards your connections actually being a phone call. So something that I focused on when I did this case study, knowing this process in and out, was if I got a customer that did opt in for text after I sent the socket talk opt-in, then I would ultimately guide that text conversation to a live phone call. And so 35 connections, and of those 35 connections, 32 appointments scheduled. The reason that that how did you do that? Again, the key factor there, from connections to appointments set, not to say that you can't schedule an appointment over text or over email, but a live phone call, this is so crucial, and I get so just right in the feels about it. A live phone call is, you're going to know, when you say something on a live phone call, the customer responds back, right? They say, because it's a live conversation, you know in that moment of any objections that might be coming up in their head, versus utilizing this case study when I did every step in this process, I knew that, you know, if I make a video email, or if I did a video email and or asked for an appointment just over email or over text, not to say that I wouldn't get it, but I wouldn't nearly have even touched 32 appointments set. The reason for that is because if I'm a customer and I get a text, or maybe I even get a great video email that says like, hey, wanted to see when you can come down and visit with us, I might be the type of customer where I like the video email, I like the personalization, but I might be thinking, I don't think I'm ready for an appointment. I'm just not there yet. I'm just doing research. I'm just looking around. I'm barely beginning my shopping. So I want to, rather than focus my video emails and everything on actually going straight for the appointment, I focus it, if we look at this, on I'm going to take the opportunities that I have. The first thing that I'm going to focus on before even getting the meeting appointment is getting connection, and taking that connection to a live phone call, which will get me my highest results, as you see here, of actual appointments set. Because on a live phone call, we're going to listen to little clips and bits of these phone calls later on. That's where, if there are any objections, such as I'm just doing research, or I'm just in my beginning stages, or I was just on Craigslist, so forth and so forth. All those things come up. They might even be objections. You're like, gosh, golly, I live over here in California and those things happen over here too. Those are best to be handled on a live phone call. And then I'm going to show you some examples of, and then appointments show and appointments sold. And typically you want to aim as a general rule, you want to aim for, 50% show from whatever is set, and then 50% sold from whatever has shown. So I'm going to show you a couple little hacks, little things that helped with that show ratio as well. And so that would be when you do schedule the appointment on a phone call, we're going to listen to one a clip on that. After making that having that live phone call conversation, not just scheduling the appointment, but having a video, creating personalization, creating value to the customer to actually say, hey, thanks so much for speaking with me on the phone and, you know, wanted to make this video to go over your appointment time, so forth and so forth. So I'll show you some examples on how I got these results. This ultimately are things that if you don't have a process put into place currently, these are things you should be looking at. These are things that you should be jotting down, tracking, to help find your specific weaknesses and strengths. A lot of you on that survey poll earlier had said that you struggle with getting connections. So if that is your biggest struggle, so if you are writing out these same bullet points from leads to connections and your connections are very low, then I would look at my leads and look at, well, why are my connections low? How many times did I call the customer? Is there a consistency there? Is there a process put into place? Did I utilize video, email? These are all things, again, that help me got the connection rate as high as it is, the appointment set, show, and sold. They all tie in together. So the first thing that I did when I got an opportunity with this, this was an independent dealership as well, to put that in perspective. So it was only pre-owned vehicles. So that was actually a little bit easier for me, in the sense that if objections do come up, if you're at a new car franchise, sometimes you need to know how to handle the objection of, well, what would my lease payments be? Or, you know, what's could I get 0% or what special financing do you have on the new F-150? At an independent store, you aren't asked those same objections, but you still are asked objections maybe on what my payment's going to be or how much money I'm going to need down, which we're going to play some examples of that a little bit later. But the first thing that I did, this is literally the blueprint. This is, you know, where you want to start jotting your notes, is I would leave I would call the customer from my office line, and if I got their voicemail, then I would leave a voicemail. So I'm going to play. This is an actual voicemail that I left to a customer. I'm going to play it here. You're going to see the script or the verbiage essentially that I'm saying on the voicemail. And if you were to go through the hundreds of calls that I made and look and listen to all my voicemails, even though I've said it so many times, you have to say it like it's your first time saying it. Because to the customer, I knew that this is going to be the first time the customer is hearing my voice. So this is like the first, you ring, right? You get the voicemail. I encourage you to look at your voicemail structure. Are you, you know, what are you saying in your voicemail? Is there a solid call to action? Is there a solid reason for your voicemail? So I'm going to play this voicemail back here. Let's see if this works. And, let's see here. Oh, Eliana, you're gonna not like me.
I'm not gonna like you?
Well, let me see if it's not playing, so I'm wondering why. Okay, here it is.
Hello, good morning. My name is Julie Timberlake over here at Indy Auto Man. Wanted to reach out to you in regards to your online research interest here in Reno on Craigslist for information on a 2009 Range Rover Sport. I did have a few questions for you just to make sure I get all the information that you need to help further your research. Do me a favor and bring me back today. My direct line here is 317 area code 707-6258. Again, 317-707-6258. It's right about lunch hour here on Monday. I'll be available for the rest of the day and I'll connect with you a little bit later as well. Just to make sure that we speak soon. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
All right, so let me go back to that. Oh goodness, hang on. Of course.
Did sound like you didn't do that 100 times.
So let's go to, we're gonna go back to where we were here. Apologize for that. Okay, so going through this, with the voicemail. It's, if I broke down this voicemail and I kind of broke down the algorithm or the bullet points of it, I am, first of all, Elise Timberlake. So why is she saying her name's Elise Timberlake? Well, first off, if you know me, you know that my second husband is Justin Timberlake. I don't know when the webcam was up earlier, if you saw, I have like a three, 3-foot giant painting behind me of him. But I knew if I used my name, my real name, Elise Kephart or Elise Adami, not that anybody would do this, but I assumed the customer who was shopping for a car maybe would Google my name, and I didn't want them to Google my name and then see that I'm an automotive trainer that focuses on video, email, and helping car dealerships improve their internet sales processes. So I used Elise Timberlake, a name that is under the radar a little bit. So I'm introducing myself, saying my dealership name, and notice what I am I'm doing here. I'm not going for the appointment in my voicemail, so I'm not saying, you know, hey, wanted to see when you wanted to come in for a test drive, or I'm not saying, hey, wanted to see what questions you had for me in my voicemail. I'm making it, you know, with the solid structure of giving them a reason on why I need to connect with them. So my reason here is, you know, hey, I had a few questions for you just to help you with your research from what you were doing on Craigslist for this, you know, whatever vehicle it was. That way, when they hear this voicemail, and this is, and you're going to see this repetitive message, when a customer hears this voicemail, it's not, again, if I were a customer and I heard, well, I wanted to see when you want to come in for a test drive, I might think, well, I'm not ready for a test drive. And so there's no purpose for me to call this person back at this dealership. Or, you know, wanted to see if you wanted to have any, had any questions. I might be a customer, I go, you know what, I don't have any questions right now. So again, as a customer, I might not call you back. So with your voicemail, with this message, it's crucial that you understand, you know, you're not, in your voicemail, you're giving the customer a reason to call you back. You know, hey, I had a few questions just to help you with your research. And then at the end here, I share my information back, and I close it up with, and you have to, this is really where your personality, you have to have the right people in place who understand that you can say something in two different ways and it can come off in a completely different manner. So with this last statement, you know, hey, I'll be sure to connect with you a little later. I'll be sure to follow up with you a little later as well, just to make sure we speak soon or just to make sure we connect. That can come off as overly aggressive, right? And that's the last thing that you want. So I want to have a closing statement with an expectation, letting the customer know, knock, knock, that if they don't reach out to me, I'm going to make it my responsibility to reach back out to them. And so this literally was just one of the many voicemails. But if you go through all the audio files, this voicemail is pretty consistent in the sense of what, you know, the only things really kind of changing out is maybe the customer's name, the type of sort, like where they were doing their research on, or it might have, you know, depending on if the customer was inquiring about a vehicle, or for example, I think there's another clip here that I'll play where they were interested in selling their vehicle or trading their vehicle. That's how the lead had come in. So that's the blueprint formula on the voicemails. I did this consistently. So this is the first thing that you really want to grasp if you're trying to, blueprint out this process, is mastering your voicemail and putting those key ingredients of giving the customer a reason to call you back, and also closing out with that expectation that you will continue to follow up. So I'm still in phase one here. So just so you understand, what I did in this case study was, phase one is still day one. The lead comes in fresh. I've just left a voicemail. Now I'm going to send a video email. And this is very easy to do. You can do it from your smartphone. You can do it from a webcam. The key is consistency every time. Consistency every time. Because if you're going to be sticking to a process, and you want these results, it's a formula, right? You don't want to just send a video email for this customer and just do it for this customer. It's all about consistency. So using, you know, I did a video email for every customer. Every single time, a personal video email. And so here is an example of that I'll play here in a moment. And I'm going to go through kind of the guidelines of my video emails and what I used as part of this case study to get the customers engaged. And you know, your video email, essentially, it's crucial that little hint here, hopefully you jot this one down, is, you know, when you're doing your video emails, the most successful method in making your video emails is that you have a your video emails are guided with the strong call to action, really towards a phone call. So I'm not trying to sell the truck or sell the vehicle over a video email necessarily. I'm really trying to, like I said, my first step is knowing that if I want to get that phone call, I need to get the customer's attention. So this video email that I'm about to play here, just to give you some background, because these are real scenarios, and I know that this happens not just at this dealership. I know for a fact, and you will agree with me, I guarantee 100% of people on this webinar today are shaking their head yes when I'm going to make this statement. This was a customer who did not have a phone number. So there was no phone number to the opportunity. This was email only. Email only, no phone number. And to top it off with a cherry, there is another one that I'll play later that didn't even have a name structured to it. It didn't even have a name to the lead. It came through just as without a name. So I'm going to play this video email, this next video email. Again, this was an opportunity that leads to an appointment down the pathway. You'll see kind of more of a detailed breakdown on the PDF download that Eliana has provided as well. You should have it in your little window popper. So I'm going to play this video email. The customer's name was Matt. The lead came through with some specific questions too. So again, this was a customer that did not have a phone number. And the lead came through on a pre-owned Ford Explorer. And the note said, could you put a tow hitch on the Explorer? So notice what I'm going to do here in this video email. I'm going to play it back, if it will play back for me.
Fingers crossed it plays.
Hey there, Matt. My name is Elise Timberlake over here at Indy Auto Man. I'm the customer care manager. Just wanted to reach out personally with a video to thank you for going online. And it shows here, it looks like you're doing research on what came through as a 2011 model Ford Explorer. I didn't see a phone number to reach you out, but I had a couple quick questions just to make sure that this is the right vehicle that you were asking about. I know you had some questions about the tow hitch as well, and I wanted to connect with you in regards to that. As far as tow hitches in general, again, I want to make sure this is the right vehicle. We do have a company that can install a tow hitch, but I just had a few questions for you just to make sure that we that all my ducks are in a row and that I can properly get you all the information that you need. Again, I only saw an email here. If you could do me a huge favor, I'm a real person here at the dealership over here on the email and computer. If you can give me a ring back, the number here, you should be able to click to call below. It's going to be 317 area code 707-6258. It's right about lunch hour here Monday afternoon. I'll be here till 7 o'clock tonight, and I'll connect with you and shoot off some additional emails a little bit later today, just in case you don't watch this in time, and just to make sure that we connect. Appreciate it again, Matt. Thank you so much again, and look forward to helping you out. Bye.
Okay, so with this particular opportunity, you heard me say it in the video email, which again is, you know, hey, I didn't have a phone number to reach you at. So if we look at a lot of times how this opportunity is handled, under the same real scenario, the customer's name is Matt. There's no phone number to the opportunity. We see that the customer, Matt, is the vehicle came through as a pre-owned Ford Explorer. And we see that he had questions about getting a tow hitch installed that come through in the general notes. And there's no phone number. So a lot of times the way that we see this lead handled is traditional email, which is just words that says, hey, Matt, yes, we can install a tow hitch and we have this vehicle available. When are you available to come by? Thanks, Elise. And that's normally how we see this opportunity handled. And then we sometimes get a response, or sometimes if a lot of times this is what happens, we don't get a response from that. And you're like, well, I answered the guy's question and I asked for the appointment and I haven't heard back from him. So that's the reason for, sorry about that, my bar came up, for the video email. I know that my strongest way to get an appointment is going to be to get this live phone call. So I did not have a phone number for this opportunity, so I couldn't leave a voicemail, but I sent a video email, and you'll notice very similar bullet points to what I said in my video email to what I said on voicemails if the customer did have a phone number. In this particular example, I used the I think I was out of Post-its that day, or you see that I have a little scrap piece of paper there with the customer's name. So let me see if I can rewind this here. I have the customer's name, something that I know is going to grab his attention because he was asking about a tow hitch on an Explorer, and then I have the word click play. Now, I normally use Post-its. I have gifts. Apparently, I was out of Post-its today, so I just tore up, you know, and wasted trees and wasted paper there. But when the reason that I start my video off like this and then bring it back like that is because exclusive to the BombBomb platform that I utilize and that I get people set up on is it has what's called a moving GIF. So the customer, when they get this video into their inbox, or if they've opted, if I'll have to look if he opted in for text, or he didn't have a phone number, but even if they viewed on text, it shows a preview, like it'll show a GIF of the first 3 seconds of your video. So I want to use that to my advantage to grab the customer's attention. So this customer sees his name, he sees the word tow hitch on Explorer, and he sees the word click play. There also typically is a red bar over the video, like a watermark that says click play, but this is just the raw video file that I downloaded in this case. But again, this was used with DealerSocket, utilizing the BombBomb video email integration that I set up. And the key points of this video email, again, to take away, if you're jotting down how do I get this blueprint, is I'm putting in my call to action, not to be for the appointment over video email, but my call to action to get the live phone call. And so notice what I said there, rather than just saying like, hey, can you call me? I didn't see a phone number. I gave him a very specific reason. I say, hey, it shows here it looks like you're doing research on this Ford Explorer. I know you had some questions about the tow hitch. I just want to make sure to get you all the accurate information, make sure that the vehicle's right as well, just so I can get all the ducks in a row, provide you with all the information that you need. You know, I didn't see a number to reach you at, but hopefully you can see that I'm a real person here. My number is listed below, and I'll be in the office till X time tonight. I'll reach out a little later as well to make sure we speak soon. So what's kind of cool about this is dealers, every CRM kind of has their own tracking as well. But on the back end of BombBomb specific to this video, since it was BombBomb is the, you know, how I made the video essentially and put it into DealerSocket, this is kind of cool too. So I'm able to not only show you can see that I obviously viewed it here earlier today, but it shows, you know, when you're going to know when the customer actually watched it. So, and it'll tell you by what device, and it'll show you how long they actually stayed on the video as well. So from this, for utilizing this example, this customer, Matt, under the same blueprint, what I would do for every customer, this is assuming, again, most of your guys' weaknesses, which is, hey, how do I get this customer on the phone? So after the video email, I send what's called a confirmation receipt. You've probably heard me talk about this maybe in the past before. The confirmation receipt is, you know, it's essentially a drop-down. It's a template that is put into your CRM. You know, these are all part of my drop-down templates. Because, and I don't, and just like phone scripts, like I said earlier, I really don't like the word templates, because you think templates and you think, well, you know, I don't like templates because they aren't real. They don't sound like somebody would actually speak. A lot of them are very, very formal, versus the way that we speak isn't necessarily, you know, you want, if it's going to be a template, here's my guideline for that. You want them to read. You want them to be very, very, very short, but you also want them to read like a real person would actually be writing them, right? And so that's normally why I don't like templates. But again, the templates that I installed into DealerSocket and that I used that were so easy to use. So we're talking about time efficiency here as well. If you can take the things that you know you have to write over and over and over and over again and put it in a template, that's going to shave off so many hours of your life to be able to really follow this process down to a T that I use to get these results. So this is a drop-down template that's for the confirmation receipt. This was put into DealerSocket, so it autofills. You know, hey, customer, first name, Elise here with dealership name. I just sent you a video email and followed to the research on what came through as the 2009 Ford Explorer year, make, model. I realize sometimes this video gets filtered. Let me know if you need me to resend. So this literally is the confirmation receipt that sent for my iPhone. That is that after I send the video email, boom, I send this out. This is just crossing my T's, dotting my I's, and making sure that the customer does get the video, or that he knows that I sent him a video if he, for whatever reason, didn't get it or didn't get a chance. I'm trying to get engagement here. Again, going back to that, the results of this case study. I know my first step before I get the appointment is I need to get engagement. So this confirmation receipt for all the opportunities that I had was sent, right after the video email. And so if we look at the next step of this, essentially you want to, if you go through the PDF, you're going to see that the process that I followed, it wasn't just the one phone call and the video email and the confirmation receipt, and then bam, all these customers called me back. My whole process is designed, and it was the record breaker webinar, I think, last time that I did, where I talked about, step by step my process, where I go through multiple phases, meaning the way that I got engagement with these customers was not only just leaving the voicemail and sending the video email and having the right structure to both of those, but you're going to see on the PDF download essentially some of the steps. Let me actually see if I can pull this off of the PDF so you guys can have it. Is my screen still showing, Eliana?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. So this is a PDF that you guys are going to be able to download here. So I'm just going to focus on this customer right here, Matt. So the appointment was set. I'm just going to highlight this so you guys can see it. And essentially, you're going to see when I actually made connection with a lot of these samples. And so with that, it's like I said, you have to go into your follow-up process knowing that they might not pick up the phone first time around. In fact, it's going to take that consistency of following up. If they don't reach back out to you, following up another couple hours after the fact. So in this particular case, though, with this customer, Matt, I didn't have a phone number for him, and I sent the video email, sent the confirmation receipt, and then I'm going to play back his – he actually called me back. So this was a scenario where I couldn't call. I'm going to play this here again. This Matt scenario, again, I didn't have why does it do that, Eliana? I'm going to flip through here while I'm talking. With Matt, with no phone number, right, the only way to get engagement essentially is if the customer calls you back because you've asked for a call back, or if they email you back, because that's the only thing that you really have when you get an opportunity for customers without phone numbers. So for this Matt scenario, again, we saw the video email that I sent to him. The video email was not going for the appointment, but it was going for the engagement. I saw that he played the video, and then I sent the confirmation receipt after him as well. These are all part of my drop-down templates. That way I can just bang and boom, send this off right after the video email, and then you always want to be, on the poll question earlier, not too many of you, I think it was maybe 15%, said we don't really struggle on the phone. But when I look at a lot of processes put into place and I listen to phone calls, I'll look at that data of, okay, of the live phone calls that you have, are you scheduling 90% appointments on those live phone calls? So if you physically on the live phone call have spoken to 10 people, are you able to schedule 9 appointments? Because that's really the goal, right? For me, the goal when I dove into this case study and was a remote BDC for 3 days, the goal was I want to schedule an appointment 100% of the time, 100% of the time. And I was able to do that, not all meeting appointments, but going into that mentality of once I get the customer on the phone and it's a live phone call conversation, it never should result in you don't know what's going to happen next. Like you don't know when to follow up with the customer next. It never should result in something where you log the call and then it pops up on your CRM a couple days later and you're like, oh, well, we spoke a couple days ago and he just said he was doing research and I'm not really sure what to do now. Every live phone call, you should be able to get some type of an appointment. So with Matt again, he ended up actually calling me back, which is, again, just kind of hits the nail on the hammer, I think. I wanted that without this phone call that I'm about to play a clip for, I don't know if I would have been able to get the appointment, right? Matt had no phone number, and rather than going, depending on email as my main form of communication, I used video email to get the live phone call, and then gosh golly, even though I didn't have a phone number for Matt, Matt called me back, because I had it in my email, I had it in my video email that he watched, and if he didn't call me back, then I would follow through with my four-phase process where I'm literally, if I have a phone number or don't, I'm touching that customer, retouching that customer from every angle that I have possible every 1 to 3 hours. And so, yes, it does take lots of work to get that engagement. But if that is your biggest struggle, then you need to get your engagement rate up by going all in with your process. And then the second part of it is really tracking again. Okay, I can get, my engagement rate is super, super high, but we're still not scheduling that many appointments. We'll then dive down into, listening to your phone calls, and you have to know how to master that phone call. Otherwise, all of that work, and this a lot of times is, I have some dealers that have it reversed where you put in so much work, and if you've been doing, automotive sales or BDC or automotive internet sales, you know that it's a lot of work to get customers to actually speak to you. Like sometimes I make jokes with myself. It gets lonely. Like it takes a lot of work, right, to actually get the customer to trust you. And so the last thing that I wanted was knowing that I'm going to put in all this work and then just not knowing how to, now I have the customer on the phone and now what do I say? So for me, obviously, this is a process that I designed when I sold cars. I've utilized it since then over the course of 3 years. I've fine-tuned it. So when I did this case study, and this was back in August when these calls were pulled and so forth, at that point, I knew in my mind that if I can get a customer on the phone, it's going to result in some type of an appointment. So you really want to get to that place where you know that if you get a customer on the phone, it's going to result in some type of an appointment, because then every day your focus isn't, I'm going to sell a car today, I'm going to sell four cars today, I'm going to schedule a bunch of appointments today. Really your focus is, I'm going to get every customer, I'm going to get the majority of customers that come in or that I follow up with to connect with me, right? So, because once they connect with you, if you have your phone skills on point, I guarantee it's going to result in some type of an appointment. And that's exactly how this case study went. So now I'm going to play some real audio, some clips of real audio files. And this part's kind of interesting because I know some of us on the webinar are just from different regions of the area. We all sell different brands. Some of us may be from independent dealerships. Some of us may be from luxury line, from domestic, from import, all across the board. Some of us may be in power sports. And a lot of times when I do training, they go, oh, Elise, no offense, but, the customers here in Miami, no, they're not the same. Like, a lot of them live far away, or a lot of them want best pricing. A lot of them won't do this. A lot of them won't do that. And so all in all, I really want to put this in perspective, because this was a completely random dealer. It was the first dealer that responded to whoever wanted to be the participant. So in that sense, it was random, but it could be anybody. I know that I can duplicate this if I did a 72-hour BDC Elise Timberlake run with any dealership in the country. Because customers, regardless of where you're located at, regardless of your brand, regardless of really what you sell, customers kind of say very similar things. They all sort of say the same objections, but the key to objections, the key to understanding this is knowing that when it comes to, I always like to ask, okay, how many ways can a customer, word an objection? And the answer is infinity ways, right? There's no book where you literally can write out the hundreds of thousands of millions, quadrillions ways that a customer is going to word to you that you know, how they want best price, or that they want best price, or that their trade-in is, you know, what they're most focused on, or how much can I get for my trade-in. Customers are going to word things how they're going to word them, right? Their end of the script isn't really scripted, but it's important to understand, to be able to on the fly internalize what they say and know how to align, overcome, and round back to the appointment for that objection. So on this next part, this was Matt calling back again. I'm going to play the audio file. You're going to kind of see the verbiage here on the screen as well. So this is important. This was when this is a clip of when a customer calls you back, right? So when they call you back, even if it routes to your cell phone, make sure that in the same way, if you've ever done any phone up training, you want to have a positive greeting. You don't want to be like, hello, like you're talking to your buddy. But if it's a work call, right, you want to have the proper initial greeting when you're picking up the phone call. So it's going to sound like this.
It's a great day here at Indy Auto Man. My name's Elise. How can I help you? I'm doing well. How about yourself?
So then the call, this call continues on and this is Matt, and so he asked how I was doing. So this is a long call, so I tried to, just for time purposes, clip the parts that I wanted to have you get the most out of. So I want you to listen to what he says here, because for those of you that maybe you're like, yeah, video, email, not really sure if I could do that or if it's worth it. This right here will sum up. This is just one example of, yes, it is worth it. This was a customer, again, who had no phone number. I did not have his phone number. I had his name and only his email, and I sent him the video email, which we just watched, and then he calls me back. So now I have a phone number, and I want you to listen to what he says here.
Matt?
Yeah, I reached out to you guys, and you sent me a little video message. It was pretty cool. So just following up with you here. I think you said you had some questions for me.
So, boom, now I have engagement. Did that audio come back through, Eliana? Could you hear what he said?
Yes, it's not as loud as you are, but, yes, I understood it, so I hope everyone else did too.
Okay, so he basically said, I reached out. So he's calling me, and this now if I was in the moment, I remember looking at the CRM, and I'm like, oh, hot dang, I don't have Matt's phone number here, and now I do because he's calling me back. But he called, what Matt basically just said there was, you know, I'm calling you back. I got your video. That was pretty cool. So he mentioned the video. For somebody to actually mention that, you know that not only did they watch it, but it was enough trust built in that 45-second video for him now to call me, right? Even though I didn't have a phone number before. So he called me back, and then he said, you had a few questions for me, so I'm calling you back. So now this is where you need to own in on your phone process. Well, shoot, what do I say on the phone call? What do I do now? He's called me back, but how do I take this actually to an appointment? So I'm going to play this back again.
For my call, I wanted to connect with you. It looks like you were doing some research just to verify on a 2011 Explorer, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, excellent. Also, I only asked in my phone here before it died.
So he goes on a little bit there, and I cut that part out. But what I did there in that last clip, just to summarize that up, and this is consistent on every single phone call. Again, it's the process. What I did there was he called me back. I thanked him for calling me back and said, hey, appreciate it. You know, I just wanted to confirm. It shows here it looks like you were doing some research on a Ford Explorer. Does that ring a bell? Okay, great. And now I'm opening up the funnel. Opening up the funnel is what I call, I want to see, especially if I'm an independent store where I only have pre-owned vehicles, so I probably have an insane selection. Was it just that one Ford Explorer that the customer is doing research on, or to help bring value to my appointment, you know, are there going to be other options that the customer is going to be interested in as well? So then he gives me the rundown of what he's looking for, and you're going to hear me go for the appointment once, and then he's going to veer off. I like to think of objections that come on the phone like a roadmap, and they throw you off the initial pathway. But as long as you know how to agree, align, overcome, then you can always round back to the appointment. So I'm going to play the rest of this call. This is towards the end of it.
Based off of everything else that you kind of told me, I do have that specific Ford Explorer have some other Explorers and other SUVs that kind of meet that description as well. Speaking of which, when are you more available to visit with us? Are you more available? I know it's kind of getting later on the day today or later on in the evening. Are you more available?
So then from there, I clipped this out, but I explained to him where we were, and then I rounded back because then he said that he's busy with work. So whenever I get the, hey, I got work or I'm super, super busy, I mean, ask yourself this, is that the first customer that's told you that they're work and they're, or that they have work and they're busy? Probably not. I mean, customers may have worded it different ways, but for the most part, a lot of people have jobs and daily lives, and a lot of people are busy, and a lot of people will share that with you. So whenever so what I'm going to do here is, when I go for the appointment, I'm going to kind of use that as a way to schedule my appointment. So let me play this clip back, and I'll explain.
With work schedules and everything like that, other customers that I've spoken to sometimes later on the week or the weekend on Saturday work best. What works best for you with your availability?
So what I did there was, you know, a lot of customers that I speak to I know are super busy and have work going on, so usually the weekend works better. Does Saturday or Sunday work best for you? Does Friday or Saturday work better for you? So what I'm doing there is I'm letting the customer know, like, hey, you're not the only one that, you know, that, like, a lot of customers in your same situation who have work and are busy usually have scheduled it on these days, right? It's kind of bringing some it's putting in perspective when you're talking to the customer. So that's how that Matt conversation went. And again, this was, I don't want to say it's the worst type of opportunity, but this was an opportunity, again, if we backtrack it, that had no phone number and only a name and email address. So it's the follow-up tools, utilizing my four-phase process, utilizing that video email, as you saw that he actually even mentioned on the phone call when he called me back, was the missing puzzle piece to actually get this phone call. And then, again, if you were taking this phone call, would you know how to round back to the appointment if they just asked, where are you, or can I call you back, or my work schedule's busy? Do you know how to overcome that on a live phone call and have the confidence to be able to round back to the appointment? So this next one, this is a customer that's these leads that were coming in through the CRM, if I recall, that it was through some type of Craigslist something. So a lot of them didn't have a name. So when I'm calling these, this one had a phone number, but I don't even have a name. So normally when you call somebody, you can say, you know, hey, is Eliana there, or hey, is John there? But I don't even have a name in this one, so I'm going into this one pretty blind as well. I don't have a name. I don't have a stock number. All that I have is an email address and phone number, and that they were on Craigslist. So that's some pretty broad information, and I'm going to share with you snips of this real phone call again on how to take it down to an appointment. Oh.
Okay, just so you know, a lot of people are saying that they really can't hear the recordings very well, but it's great that you're telling people, you know, what is being said. You might as well just go right and do that, because we're, even though I can hear it, I have very strong headphones, but not all people are in that situation. So maybe just tell people how it went.
So this one, I called the phone number, and this, if you look on the PDF guide, this is another thing where I didn't get the customer first time. They didn't pick up first time. I had to go through the follow-up process, the four phases a day, to actually get this customer to pick up their phone. So again, it's, you know, to get to this live phone call, it was the whole breakdown of utilizing the proper voicemail, video email, confirmation receipts, calling from multiple lines, knowing that, you know, being prepared at all times to, when I get the customer on the phone, that it's going to result in something like this. So I won't play back the audio and on this, but this was a customer that had no name. So rather than go into it, hey, is Eliana there? I kind of went into it with a little bit of humor, and let me see if this was a female or male that picked up.
Hello.
Okay, so this was a male that picked up. Hello. And then I don't have a name at this point, so you go into it with a little bit of humor and say, hey, my name is Elise. I hope I didn't reach you at a bad time. I guess it probably depends on who this is. I'm over here at Indie Auto Man, and the reason for my call, and I apologize I didn't have a name. It's probably a glitch here on my computer end, but I just want to thank you for going on Craigslist. It shows here it looks like you were doing some research on a Chevy Silver or a pickup truck. Does that ring a bell? So that's basically how I started off this conversation. So, and then from there, he brought up, he brings up, you know, well, how does down payment work? Or, you know, I don't have the best credit. So do you know how to overcome that objection if it comes in? And I think this call as well, if I were to play it back, and if you download the PowerPoint, you should be able to play these back. Like if you download the PowerPoint that is an attachment that Eliana uploaded, the MP4 files to be able to listen to these, you should be able to listen to. So knowing how to overcome the credit situation, knowing how to overcome if they live a little bit farther away, and if they live a little bit farther away, the what I use in this case study and that obviously works is when you get an objection like that, hey, you know what, not a problem at all. You know, a lot of customers that I speak to that live in the Chicago area, I know with just the distance and so forth, usually the weekend works a little bit better. So finding a way to where it's not, you're not acting shocked and surprised that this is the only customer that's giving you that objection, but you're utilizing that to your advantage and saying like, hey, you know, I've talked to a lot of customers kind of in the same boat or in the same scenario or from that area, and this is usually the plan of action that usually works best. So knowing, again, how to handle these objections when they come up. So so if I were to you know, if I were to be jotting some notes down, and if I needed to, maybe you don't have a process currently into place, then these are the three key takeaways that I would start with. After this webinar, after this session, I would start jotting down when I'm talking to customers on the phone, really tracking like how many appointments I'm scheduling, and if I'm not able to schedule a meeting appointment and I can't get a tentative appointment, is every phone call ending in some type of appointment where it's a, hey, you know, not a problem, I'm going to go ahead and make note that we spoke, let's go ahead and plan on reconnecting at this time? Does every customer have some type of an appointment to it? And what are customers saying? Like, what are the objections? This is the best way to really get familiar with how to overcome things that throw you off the path. What are customers saying that throw you off guard? Because you should eventually be able to realize that they're very, to a certain degree, they're very similar. They might just be worded, again, infinite amount of ways. But jotting down what customers are saying so that you can study those and know, okay, when a customer asks a question like this or gives me an objection like this, how am I going to agree with that customer, overcome it, and round back to the appointment? And knowing, again, just knowing without even thinking about it, just having your skill set down on the phone to where you can obliterate all objections and you know how to overcome objections on the phone. And then to even get to that phone call, man, you have to follow up like crazy. You have to go all in. If you have to use every tool in your toolbox as far as ways that you can communicate with a customer and throw out any excuses of, oh, they live far away, oh, I don't have their phone number, oh, they want best price, oh, they have a question about this tow hitch, and I don't have their phone number. You can't get frustrated at that, you know, at situations or things that may not be in your favor. Utilize those things that aren't in your favor and let it motivate you to know that most automotive professionals at other dealerships are going to kick that lead to the curb. But I guarantee if you follow this, literally, if you follow this blueprint, and you're willing to study it, you know, as I mentioned, study it and go all in with it, then the results are that you can duplicate. You can duplicate these. Again, if you're willing to put your head down, study it, master it, implement it, then you can get these, same results. So, with that, I think, is it time for our prize? Is it time for our prizes?
Yeah, we're running late. All right, audience. and just so you know, we have some wonderful questions that came in from the audience. So we're going to have to, like, you know, get through those questions as quickly as possible. All right. So, audience, if you were here earlier, then you heard me at the beginning of the webinar announce that our good friends over at Elise Kephart Experience are giving away great prizes on today's webinar. I'm going to turn on my webcam. Elise, you can turn on your webcam, by the way.
Okay.
Just so you know, the first thing we are going to be giving away is the Elise Kephart swag bag. So, Elise, real fast, what are we giving away? Like T-shirts and pop-outs and stuff like that, right?
Pop sockets. So let me turn on my webcam here once I get to this. Pop sockets. So if you – a lot of you probably from the introductions this morning use BombBomb with me already. If you don't, then a pop socket is going to allow you to hold your phone up. I'll show you it in a second.
Now you don't have to show it. We got to get through this. Come on now. I got to give away prizes.
And then I got these shirts made, and I'm really like OCD about t-shirts. Like I like them to be soft. So I got this really nice soft t-shirt material. And they say, long emails suck. So, because that's long enough suck. So I'm going to hook you up with that, and I'm going to send you that to your dealership, to your mailing address, wherever that is.
So if you win, we need you to quickly tell us what dealership you're from so I can give you a proper congratulations, and then don't forget to give me your mailing address. And, Elise, I'm still not seeing your webcam on if you get a chance. All right, here we go. First question, and like I said, this is for the Elise Kephart swag bag. Good luck, everyone. Here we go. Oh, I love how you're already, JR, I see you. He's already telling me his shirt size. All right, here we go. Good luck, everyone. How many ways can a customer ask for best price? Oh, let's see. Oh, my goodness, I got to scroll up here. Let's see. First person to answer correctly was Dan Green, Unlimited, or we would have also accepted Infinity. Congratulations, Mr. Dan Green. You are today's winner of the EKX swag bag. Dan Green, making it official, putting your name on the sheet of paper. Now what I need to know is what dealership you're from. Dan Green is from the Robert Green Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Congratulations, Dan Green. You are going to be getting an EKX swag bag in the mail as soon as you send me a mailing address so we can get that out to you. That prize is going to come directly to you from EKX headquarters. So, Dan, congratulations. You're already a winner. Guess what? You can sit out the next question. Now, just so you know, everyone, you got one more chance to win, and this prize is a doozy, let me tell you. You are now playing for the Elise Kephart's Best Price Master Course. This is an online training course direct from EKX Academy. It's going to teach you everything you need to know to overcome objections and win more customers when they request best pricing. And let me just tell you, I took a quick look at it. I don't know. It has like 60 or 80 or 100, I don't even know, different modules inside that one training course. It's valued at only $300. Let me tell you, this is invaluable. You are definitely going to want this. So good luck, everyone. This question is not easy. I hope you were paying attention and took good notes. Good luck. What did Elise say is crucial to include in your first initial video email? What did Elise say is crucial to include in your first initial video email? Let's see. Oh, there it is. First person to win, to get the correct answer is Kathy Hensley. Correct. She had the correct answer. It was a strong call to action. A strong call to action to get them on the phone. Congratulations, Kathy Hensley. That's exactly what she said was the correct answer. Kathy Hensley. Oh, it's official. Hot dog. Kathy, where are you from? Your prize is going to be coming direct from Elise.
I know Kathy. I got her on my phone. I know Kathy. Yeah, I'm excited. I'll send you some additional courses because I know she has a team of good people over there. So.
Kathy, congratulations. She's from Master Buick GMC in Augusta, Georgia. Congratulations. Oh, Kathy says, yeah, she's your stalker. Congratulations, Kathy. You have won a tremendous prize from our good friends over at Elise Kephart Experience. Now, by the way, All you other people, I know, if your name isn't Kathy Hensley or Dan Green, you aren't a winner. Guess what? I wasn't either. But you know what? We give away cool prizes every week, so come on back to another Dealer On webinar, and that could be the day you win a great prize on the Dealer On webinar. For right now, though, big congratulations to Dan Green and Kathy Hensley on their big wins. And, of course, we got to thank our good friends over at Elise Kephart Experience for their incredible generosity. So thank you so much for that. Okay, everyone, let's get to your questions. Have you gotten in your questions yet? If you haven't, you better, because Elise has to go and do another broadcast with BombBomb after this, so we don't have it for very long. So, Elise, I'm going to ask you to fly through these questions as quickly as possible, okay? Please put up the slide with your headshot and your contact information so people can get in touch with you directly if, in fact, we don't happen to get to your questions today. Okay. First question. A lot of people had questions about your close rate. I believe you went through it, but just to be sure, Ian, for instance, wanted to know, is the 30% close rate within the 72 hours, or is it 30% close for leads received in that time? And then John wanted to know, how did you define close rate, and what was the close rate of the store prior to your study?
So this, to answer your question, the total close rate was calculated for the after 2 weeks after, in the sense if it was an appointment that was a longer distance customer that had to fly in to purchase the vehicle. So close rate is the vehicle was sold. Total close rate is the vehicle that was sold. So if I go back to, let me go back to maybe that slide. And as far as previous close rate, I actually don't have that off of the top of my head, but I can, if you maybe jot a note in the notes for Eliana, I can get you the prior close rate. Typically, the average, the industry average, is at about 10% as an industry average. So, going back to the results of this here, so I can kind of show you how this was calculated, and the PDF document as well is going to kind of break down like phone calls that were made and everything like that. But if you look at 38 opportunities. 12 car deals out of that. So that 12 car deals was over the span of 2 weeks, even though the actual follow-up was within the 3 days, if that makes sense. So okay. 38 opportunities, 12 sold.
That's excellent, by the way. That was awesome. All right, Ian, John, if you have a follow-up question, please send it in. All right, next one is from Tom. Tom wanted to know how many phone attempts were needed to get 35 connections.
So that's going to be on your PDF, but it was an average of about 70 phone calls a day. The phone calls, though, wasn't just calling people randomly. It was calling them multiple times. So if I'm calling a customer 3 or 4 times in a day, that's 4 phone calls.
Got it. All right, Tom, thank you so much. Great question. Okay, next question comes in from, one of our winners.
That is the phases that I sort of talked about, making those multiple attempts. So rather than, if I had to make 70 calls, I don't want to just call 70 customers, right? I want to focus on maybe the 10 opportunities, or the fresh opportunities that are coming in, and follow up with them 4 times a day. Mm-hmm. Until I get that connection.
And just so you know, everyone, Elise told you about it earlier, but you can still find the recording of Elise Kephart's actually award-winning, right?
Yeah.
I know, it was nice, right? Broadcast that we did that talked about the Elise Kephart Experience 2.0. Go to dealeron.com/webinar, and then go to the bottom, and underneath the 3 upcoming webinars, you'll see another link that says, did you miss a webinar? Do you want webinars on demand? So click on that. It's going to take you to our archives, all right? And from there, you can do a search for all of the Elise Kephart webinars, but look for the one that says Elise Kephart Experience 2.0. And you'll be able to listen to the whole thing and hear exactly how many phone calls, what time of the day, what you say, the templates, all that stuff. You can hear it all, or you know what? You could just call her and hire her because, you know, she's the bomb. Okay, so just so you know, we'll do that. All right, next question comes in from today's winner, Dan. He says, do you have demographic information on your customers' names? I'm looking through the case study now, but it would be great to get a better idea of who these people are, age, demo, occupation, etc.
I would have to get in touch with, I don't know if Victor's on this call, but get in touch with the dealer and see if I can pull that, or if I would be able to pull that information. I can tell you it was an independent dealership in Indianapolis. And before doing this case study, whenever I aliased my name, it used to be Chang because I kind of wanted to stick to the Asian theme. But this particular area, the owner told me to come up with a less oriental name. So if that gives you any kind of background on just the type of area, I guess, where the dealership was located and so forth.
No, I think that's so funny, that story.
But I like the name Timberlake better than Chang. So Chang no longer exists.
Timberlake's working for you. All right, Dan, thank you so much for that question. All right, next question comes in from Sarah. Sarah says, when you show the total lead number, does it include bad leads with incorrect contact information?
No, it does not. So bad, and there is a bad lead is, I only consider a bad lead when the customer says, like, oh, that wasn't me, that wasn't, you know, take me off your list. When, like, it's confirmed that it's not a legitimate lead. So that is axed out of here.
Okay. Sarah, thank you so much for that question. Excellent observation. All right. Next one comes in from John, who gave us an earlier question. He says, these are impressive results. However, 38 leads in 72 hours at a dealership in a major metro area seems rather low. Were you handling all the incoming leads?
No, I wasn't.
So you were just like an extra person in their already existing BDC.
Right.
Okay. John, thank you so much for that. Okay, next question comes in from Dan. I don't know if I should ask this question. I don't think I'm going to ask your question, Dan, but thank you so much for that question.
What is it? I want to know now.
What? I just said I wasn't going to ask it.
All right.
No, Dan said it's okay. All right. Thank you so much, Dan. You knew it was spicy when you sent it. Okay.
I want to know. You're going to have to tell me, Eliana. I want to know what the question is. Tell me after. Or ask me. I'm ballsy.
Let's just put it this way. Okay. Dan asked, he said he noticed that the dealership that you worked with is not a dealeron.com. You know, website. And to be honest, she didn't do this whole exercise just for me, you know, but he wanted to know, what you thought the quality of the website, how that factored in to your process. Do you think it helped or hurt, or do you think it had no impact?
I like to look at it where whatever type, this could have been any store anywhere. And even if I did this again today, any store anywhere, I'm not looking at, I'm not looking at, you know, the website stats or I just know that every dealership has opportunities that come to them, and taking the opportunities that you have and maximizing the results out of them. So, to answer your question on if it matters on that. I'm not looking at how many people were on the website that converted to actually filling out an active form. I'm looking at of the people that took the time to fill out some type of form, how am I maximizing the results on those? So
it doesn't matter.
I didn't look at any of that. I would and I like to go into it just knowing, regardless of my situation, regardless of if my, let's say my website's from 1992 and I only get 10 opportunities a month, you know, all the more reason that I should be able to wholeheartedly be able to just go all in with those 10. You know, taking the opportunities that you have, whether it's 40 opportunities, 10 opportunities, 100 opportunities, and maximizing the results.
Right. I think a better vendor might get you more leads or opportunities, but there's still opportunities and you still have to make the best of them. So thank you so much, Elise. All right, Dan, thank you for putting me on the spot there. Let's not do that again. Okay, next question comes from Tracy. Tracy and I had a nice discussion about this. Tracy says, I love your microphone, Elise, after the webinar. Okay. Please tell me what info on the type of microphone, because it's so pretty, please. And I told her I also have microphone envy. So can you tell us real quick who your microphone is from?
It's a Rode mic. Yeah, it's just a Rode mic with the Rode stand, and that's it. I don't have anything else on it.
Okay. There you go, Tracy. I hope that helped you out. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know the model, but if you Google Rode podcast mic, this you'll see it come up.
Is it R-O-A-D or R-H-O-D-E?
R-O-R-O-D-E.
R-O-D. Okay, there you go. Now we know, Tracy. Now we know. Okay, next question comes in from Sherry. She says, we don't have webcams or commercial phones to be able to do video email without jeopardizing coordinators' personal identity. How can we translate this to email?
You actually answer your question. When you use BombBomb with me and you can integrate it with DealerSocket or with your CRM, the customer's never going to know that you're sending it through the CRM. So however you normally send emails or normally send texts, everything goes through the CRM. So you use your phone itself to record the video and upload to the BombBomb server that I show you how to do, and then it feeds right through your CRM. So that privacy of the customer, like nothing is connected essentially to track back to your cell phone. If that's what they were
I think that's a perfect solution. Thank you so much. Yeah. Sherry, if you have follow-up questions, we could try and take them here, or you can just contact Elise directly and see how she can help you. All right?
Perfect example, just to reiterate on this. I did all of these calls and these video emails with the gray background. I have a yellow background now with Justin Timberlake, but that was done here in my office in California, and this dealership was in Indianapolis. The customers that I spoke to on the phone, they never knew that my real cell phone was 805 area code. They never knew that, that I was in California. It was done completely remotely. So.
Okay, Sherry wrote in and she said, thank you. Excellent. Let's keep moving. All right, Sherry, thank you so much. Great question. All right, next one comes in from William. William says, do you give a price on email or video email?
If my feet are – so that would be a recommendation to check out my ekxacademy.com Best Price Master Course. But if my feet are to the fire, then I will do a video email quote. And my feet are to the fire meaning the customer is very detailed upon what they want, or I'm on the phone with the customer and I can't overcome that best price objection. Mm-hmm. But if it's just a normal like, hey, send me a quote e-price button somewhere on your website – then I'm going to treat it just like that Matt call where it's like, hey, I wanted to make sure this is the correct vehicle. I had a few other things for you just to make sure and get you accurate pricing. So to answer your question, if my feet are to the fire, then I will. But otherwise, I use video email as a way to take that best price or send me a quote opportunity to get them on a live phone call.
I like it. All right, William, great question. Okay, Tracy, you're still on the call. I know you are. Dan looked it up for you. He said it's called the Rode Podcaster, and it's about $200 on Amazon. So if you're interested in getting that cool microphone, let's all look into that, okay? let's see. Next question comes in from Kathy. Kathy says, Eliana, I need you to ask Elise, how much is it to install her scripts into the CRM, Vin Solutions? I actually paid for the scripts. I just want to find out how much it is to install her scripts, and maybe others would want to know too.
So I have a total of 640 drop-down fire templates. With installation, it's $5 a piece.
Wow. All right, Kathleen, thank you so much for asking that great question. All right. Tony, great question. Elise, how do you feel about management confirming the appointment?
That will help with your show ratio. Absolutely. So if it's I feel strongly about doing that. And what's actually pretty cool about this as well is the owner of this dealership, I had him like 24/7 available on, we used Facebook Messenger as like a way to communicate on the fly. And so he was like, right there if I got into a situation, which there was on the case study, you'll see a customer named Choi who lived far away, where I needed somebody there to record, footage of the vehicle, you know, to send to this long, long distance customer.
Right.
So, yeah, so management involvement is fantastic. And it helps with, you know, it helps with your process, when the customer's in store as well. Cause then the manager's not just some stranger, but it's somebody that has confirmed the appointment, and hopefully done a video as well. So by the time the customer's actually in the store, you know, they've virtually met a lot of the team members.
I love it. Tony?
Yeah.
Keep doing that. That's good. All right. Thank you so much. A handful more questions and then we'll close out the show. Next question. Oh, Kathy again. She says, would you ask Elise if it is in the BDC's best interest to set a time for them to handle best price or a salesperson?
So whether I'm a salesperson or whether I'm BDC, in this case I was BDC, and when best price got thrown at me, I knew how it's the same objection handling techniques. A lot of times what we see as BDC is thought, oh, if price comes up, just transfer it to a salesperson. But then the downside to that is the salesperson sometimes is wired to just start talking about the deal, and they don't really know how to overcome objections on the phone, but they just start asking, you know, well, how much money were you going to be putting down, and let me and start working the deal like they're used to with the customer face-to-face. So to answer your question, in this case study, obviously I wasn't a salesperson. I wasn't at the store. I didn't sell the car cradle to the grave or all the way through.
Right.
But getting down to knowing how to overcome those objections should be the same whether the BDC person is on the phone or you have to transfer to a salesperson. Only as a last resort should it really result into actually working the car deal. You know, by last resort, meaning the customers is like, that's the only way that they're going to do it. Or, you know, they're a super, super long distance customer where that kind of has to be done. But hopefully that answers your question.
I love it. Actually, that leads us right into our next question. Thank you so much for that one, Kathy. Next question comes in from Eric from Albuquerque, Brad Francis Dodge. He says, how did you deal with long distance customers?
So with long distance customers, what I did was I got focused the first step on getting engagement, getting the connection, then getting to the phone call. It typically wasn't until on the phone call where I knew that they were a long distance customer, and I would still even go for that appointment. Well, hey, you know, a lot of customers kind of from the Chicago area, you know, usually, the weekend works better. We even have the ability to pick you up from the airport if you want to fly in. And then from there, that's a situation where, like I said, I had, you know, we sent them a video email of the actual vehicle itself, and then scheduled the appointment based off of his flight from there. So that is, you know, even if it's a long-distance customer, I still try and just make it seem like, well, we work with a lot of long-distance customers, and I'm going to go for the appointment. Like, hey, a lot of customers that live here, a lot of customers in our area, or other customers that I've spoken to in the same situation, usually this usually works best. And if they object to that, then that is now a feeder to the fire situation where, you know, you are going to need to send them a video going over the full breakdown, get the pre-approval, and arrange for pickup at the airport, or if it's going to be a drive time, you know, arrange for that to make sure that everything is in line when the customer gets there.
There you go. All right. By the way, Elise, can you put it back on the slide with your contact information?
Oh, yeah. I can do that.
Because, you know, people are going to want that. Okay. Thank you so much. Great question, Eric. Okay. Next one comes from Emery. Emery wants to know, where do I go to get Bomb Bomb? What?
I can say that on here. So I have you. BombBomb is not my company, but I obviously do partner with them. So I do have an exclusive link, and it may be easier just to email me, and I can give you that exclusive link. But otherwise, it's bombbomb.com/automotive video email, all one word. So bombbomb.
Automotive video email.
Yep, automotive video email. Another thing, if you want a freebie guide too, is you can just go to ekxmovement.com. That'll give you my free video email guide and walk you through how to get set up with me as well. So that's probably the better one, ekxmovement.com. Or email me and I'll get you all linked up. And I do have some promotional promotional rates for everybody on the webinar as well.
Yay, we love that.
Yeah.
Dan said he's getting a 404 error, and Emily says thank you.
404 error. So shoot me an email, Dan, and I'll get you the I'll make sure that I get you set up. Or even if anybody wants a free trial, I can do that as well.
Okay. All right. Great.
Free trial?
Just email Elise directly. She'll help you out. Okay. All right. We got to get through some more emails before we lose her. Okay. I'm sorry. Questions. Okay. Thank you, Emery. Great question. All right. Next one is from Tammy. Tammy wants to know, was a message left for each phone call on the 4 times per day?
No. So it opened up and closed out with a voicemail. So it was done in 4 phases. The first phase was a voicemail. Or the first call of the day was a voicemail, and the last call of the day was a voicemail. 2 calls in between were just quick hang up and pickups. So your opening and close are voicemails. Your in-betweens are not.
Interesting. Okay, Tammy, great question. Okay, Tammy has a follow-up question, too. Tammy says, are the scripts easily installed using Dealer Socket, and are they available in a package deal?
So my 640 fire templates, those drop downs, as I'm guessing what you're in reference to, those are available without install. So I give you all the Word documents for them, and you install them yourself, or we can install them for you. So either or which way. So it's $2 per template. Without install, and it's $5 with install, which, just to give you the background on that, because I've done it so many times, and it's about 80 hours worth of labor and lots of coffee.
Okay, we're not talking about you and your stuff. We have to get to these questions. Okay, so thank you for the questions. We're trying to get through them all, but we're not trying to pitch Elise Cappart, although I do think she's fabulous. All right, here we go. Next one comes from Amber. Amber says, what do you say to the customer you connect with that says, I was just looking a little online, not planning on buying, no questions, no plan to come out for a test drive, blah, blah, blah. What is your follow-up with them?
So the best way to overcome an objection is to not get one in the first place. So knowing that most customers are going to tell me that they're doing research in the first place, then that's how I open up my call, which is, you know, and you can play – if you download the PowerPoint, I think some of the clips are in there, which again is, hey, I just want to thank you for going online. It shows here it looks like you're doing some research on XYZ vehicle. Does that ring a bell? Of course they're going to agree with that, because they're just doing a little bit of research. So starting off your call without an open-ended question of what questions do you have for me, I don't want to go that direction, because when I say that, that's like, hey, what objections do you want to throw at me to make my job more difficult and take me super far away from the appointment? I want to structure it so it's right off the bat I'm getting an agreement from the customer. Hey, I just want to thank you for going online. It shows here you're doing some research on XYZ vehicle. Does that ring a bell? No, we were just kind of clicking around. We're just in the beginning phases. We're not ready to do anything. Hey, you know what? That makes a lot of sense. Most customers that I speak to, and I speak to about 100 people a day, have told me that same thing, so I'm completely with you there. That being said, our goal here is to help you further with your research. So have you thought about, are you only looking at Ford Explorers? Are you looking at other SUVs as well? Continue on down the pathway to get past that. But right off the bat, you notice that I'm letting the customer know, I know you're probably only doing research, because that's what a lot of customers say. So I might as well just throw it out there in the beginning so that I can get them to start agreeing with me with what I'm
saying.
You're
brilliant. That's a great way to do it. Amber, I hope that helps you out. I'm going to switch over to this question from Sarah. She says, do you offer a course on overcoming objections for both BDC and sales?
My course that would be best fine-tuned to you right now would probably be my Best Price Master course. It goes through the ins and outs of the most common, most struggled objection, which is send me a quote, give me your best price. So that would be my recommendation, and that you can find that at ekxacademy.com.
Okay. Thank you so much, Sarah, for that question. Okay. The questions keep coming in. Let's try and quickly close out the show. Christopher says, our CRM has video built in that can be sent through email and text. We use the CRM to make phone calls so that we can record. How can we use the ability to make calls from different numbers that get recorded through the CRM?
So that would be the platform that I use, which is Talk Options. And that is something that again, you can change up your phone number and log the call, you know, have a link to put, it'll be a downloadable file that mm-hmm. you can put in the CRM. I don't think it merges by default, but just as I was able to play back audio clips and so forth for you today, all the hard files of all the calls that you make for multiple lines are recorded, and you can put them in your CRM.
Christopher, good luck with that. I hope you hope that works out for you. Oh, he says, so we have to depend on the salespeople to download them?
Or, yeah, I'm not, I mean, Talk Options is, it's Jerry's platform, Jerry Tebow, so I don't think there is a way to, that pushes the audio files automatically into the CRM. But even if you were just, what I usually do with dealers that use my process is, they'll have the reporting on, the back end of Talk Options to list, to have all those, downloadable calls, but just having, the notation or having the checklist basically checked off, like called from 606 number, called from 909 number, so that the notation is there.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay, great. All right. Let's see. Thank you so much for that. Okay. Oh, Sherry wants to know, when you said you like that management confirms appointments, do you prefer email or phone call?
Both, video, email, and phone call.
Both. Okay. Amy wrote in, the handout downloads do not have the sound files. How can I listen to them? That's true. They don't. I put in a PDF in the handouts.
Well, okay, so with that, shoot me an email, and I will put together kind of like a Google Dropbox type thing where you will be able to listen to all the raw audio files at your own leisure.
Very kind of you. Thank you. Okay, last question comes in from Jamie. Jamie says, hello, Elise and Eliana. I'm from Ubalore and Sons in Jasper, Indiana. We have multiple rooftops, and we often run into situations where the vehicle of interest is the only vehicle the customer will consider, and it's not available because it's sold or whatever else. We currently practice telling customers that every vehicle is available and go for the appointment, even though some of our fellow employees struggle with us doing this because, well, they consider it lying. What
Yes.
do you do when you know the vehicle is unavailable?
So notice in one of the phone calls that I played, I opened up the funnel. That's crucial. I don't like being dishonest with customers. If that is the only vehicle that they want, they have not opened up the funnel to me, and that's the only thing they want, that's going to piss off a customer very fast if they only wanted that one and they come down and it's not there. So that's the crucial reason for knowing your phone skills and being able to open up that funnel and ask, hey, you know, was it only this Ford Explorer you were doing research on? Were you looking at other SUVs as well? Once you get that confirmation and the customer says, hey, I'm looking at XYZ or we're looking at this and this, I'm going to know that I have other inventory that meets that description, so I don't have to set my appointment exclusive just to that one Ford Explorer. So hopefully that answers your question. But if it is a scenario where the customer only wants that one Mini Cooper, and it's only that one and they have turned down any other option, other than that one specific vehicle, then I'll find another way to schedule that appointment. I'll attempt it at a different route. I don't want to lie to the customer flat out. If that's the only vehicle they want, I don't have it, they have turned down any other option of being open or doing research on anything else, that's just, that's not going to be in your favor to, you know, that's kind of fitting the stereotype of what a car salesperson is, which is dishonest. And so I like to open up the funnel knowing that majority of the time the customer is going to say, well, I'm kind of looking at this, or I'm looking at this, this, and this as well, or, you know, give you other guidelines other than just that one.
Lying is never the way to go. I agree.
Yeah.
Jamie, thank you so much for that great question. And with that, let me just close out with Andrea saying, you're amazing. Thanks for all you do for our entire automotive group here in Washington State. I agree. You are amazing, Elise Kephart, one of my favorite presenters. You always bring the heat. You always put out amazing information. Thank you again. And audience, no, it won't be long before I get Elise Kephart back on the show. So stay tuned, and we'll see how soon it can be before we can get her back on the show. Elise, as always, amazing.
Yeah.
Yes, everyone's writing in that they love you. Agreed. I love her too. So fantastic presentation. I want to remind the audience, yes, a link is going to be downloaded, sent to you so that you can download a copy of today's webinar recording. It's going to be emailed to you later today for your reference. So watch out for that. Please feel free to share it with your friends and colleagues. Today's webinar is going to be posted online within 24 hours. All you have to do is go to dealeron.com/webinars to view our upcoming webinar schedule or access any of our past webinars. And at the conclusion of this webinar, you're going to get a short survey. I loved it. I want to know what you thought of today's presentation. So please fill out that survey. It is a short 3 questions and tell us what you thought. And hey, are you losing valuable traffic because of a slow mobile website? That's no good. Google estimates that well over half your website traffic is coming from mobile devices. Don't worry, because DealerOn now offers a mobile site speed test for free. You can get yours after the webinar in that survey. Just give us your URL and let the magic begin. Great way to see how your site stacks up to the competition. And invitations will be going out tomorrow for our next DealerOn webinar. Yeah, we're starting out 2018 strong. This one is how to motivate Instagram car shoppers to buy from you. According to Forbes magazine, Instagram is now considered the best social media platform for customer engagement. However, many dealerships have yet to add Instagram as an active part of their social media strategy. If you aren't using Instagram to increase your brand exposure, customer engagement, and sales, let me tell you, my friends, you are missing out. Want to learn how to motivate Instagram car shoppers to buy from you? Well, sit tight. We've called in the expert. Facebook's and Instagram's Gabrielle Garrison is back, and she's bringing the fire. Attendees of this jam-packed webinar are going to hear what motivates car shoppers on Instagram to choose your dealership for their final purchase. You'll also understand the different Instagram ad formats and how they complement your Facebook campaigns and lower your cost per lead. You'll learn best practices to tell your dealership story on Instagram through your paid marketing efforts, and you'll discover successful Instagram marketing strategies that'll increase a dealership's overall reach. So if you're looking to expand your social media strategy and have the highest levels of marketing success on Instagram, then don't you dare miss this must-see presentation. So register now, and don't forget, DealerOn's weekly webinars are held Thursdays, 12 noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Mountain, and 9 a.m. Pacific. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions regarding our webinars and our topics, I'd love to hear from you. Track me down online or just email me directly at eliana@dealeron.com. Thank you all so very much for spending this time with us today, and I hope to see you all on another webinar in our continuing education series. Happy New Year, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning in today. Take care.